Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the parable of the sheep and the goats as found written in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And the theme this morning, the surprising day of the Lord. Please be seated. Surprise, surprise, surprise. No, I'm not doing an impression of Gomer Pyle. But surprise, surprise, surprise. When you came in the church this morning, you probably didn't expect to see the Christmas tree up, nor the nativity. But it's here for a purpose. Today is the last Sunday of the church year. The long green season has come to an end. So it's right that we address the reason for all the green today. Well, we see the green on the pyramids and on the stole. We see the green tree, and it should remind us of something. There's a reason why the Christmas tree is green. There's a reason why we have green pyramids and a green stole. Green in the church is the color of teaching, but on this last Sunday of the church year, it's the green of everlasting life. Green is the color of life. And as we look at the tree, it should remind us always that we have life, the evergreen, the everlasting life that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Appropriately so, there are crosses hanging from our Christmas tree. Very appropriate. And also you see the nativity scene. Now there is someone not there, rightly so, because that's also a surprise to us. I have the infant child in my hand here, and we'll put him back in the manger eventually. But you know, when Jesus came there on that eventful night in Bethlehem, surprise, 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 no one expected it, even though it was prophesied that he would be born of a virgin, that he would be born in the city of David. But no one remembered. My dear brothers and sisters, it's important for us to always remember. It's important for us to always be prepared, to always be ready for that surprising day of the Lord. You see, on Judgment Day, of which Jesus speaks this morning, there will be many, many surprises. But you should never be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised at seeing your King. You should not be surprised at the words that He will say to you. And you should not be surprised at the words that He will not say to you. So let's look at our text this morning. The judge of all men is a surprising king. Many people thought that once Jesus there hanging on the cross, once he came off the cross and was buried there in Jerusalem, he would never be seen again. And there are still many who believe that Jesus is buried somewhere in Israel. Yet today he identifies with you and me. He identifies that he is the king, and therefore we are his sheep. We are his subjects. We are his brothers and sisters. He identifies with us in our lowliness. He identifies with our humbleness. And he does this so that eventually, there on that great last day, as we stand on his right hand, we will share in his glory forever and ever. You see, Jesus is the Son of Man, and he is the Son of God. Jesus is God. He is also the servant of the Lord. He is the one who came to suffer for your sins and my sins. And therefore, since he has done this great work for you and for me, he is not ashamed. He is not ashamed to call us his brethren. He is not ashamed to call you brother or sister. In the book of Hebrews, we hear, "For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." The Son of Man, Jesus Christ is your King, who comes in glory to grant you a share of His kingdom. Yet, He will also execute His Father's judgment on this sinful, evil world. Jesus tells us this morning that the whole human race will be assembled before Him. We have no idea how He's going to do this, but may I remind you, Jesus is God, and with God all things are possible. Therefore, all human beings who have lived, who are living today, and who will live, will be present before Him. There is no one who can skip out. There is no one who will be sleeping in. There is no one who will be on the farm doing what they're supposed to be doing. No, we'll all be standing before the King. And we'll be standing before the King for His judgment. Notice that it is a judgment. It is not a trial. It's too late for a trial. In this life, you have already lived it. You've already lived the trials of life. You've lived the trial of faith here in this world. Or those who are unrighteous, they have lived the trial of unbelief. And therefore, on the great last day, the judge will come and announce His sentence. As you see there in verse 34, the King is Jesus, who has received the everlasting kingdom from His Father. The blessed state of those at His right hand is now due. Not to themselves. It's not by what they have done in this life, but it's what Jesus has done for them. In you, His son or daughter, your Father's long counsel of salvation now reaches its goal. The darkness is past. You are standing in the light, and you will hear wonderful words from your King. And since this is a public judgment, such external evidence as works will not be offered. Have you noticed that Jesus is both judge and on the basis of His judgment, He is also the jury? And the relationship that you have with Him is paramount, dear one. Love, service, shown to His fellow brother or sister, your fellow brother or sister, is a reflection of your response to your King's grace, to His mercy, and to His love to you and to your fellow brother and sister in Christ Jesus. In the meantime, the King now confronts you. He confronts you with His grace in word and sacrament, and therefore He gives you the opportunity to respond to Him by responding to His needy brethren. That's why we are on this earth. Many people have asked me, why am I alive? And the answer is, you're alive because the Lord desires that you serve, that you love your fellow Christian, and that in loving and serving your fellow Christian, you are loving and serving your Lord. That's why you're alive. And it's nothing other than that. And therefore, Jesus does call you here. He calls you present to hear His word. He calls you here on those selected Sundays to gather here before Him so that He may nourish His little lambs with body and blood for the strengthening of your faith. For the Lord knows that in this life of trials, you need a strong faith, and only He can strengthen your faith. Did you notice the response? It's the same response that you will have and that I will have. The response is, when? When, Lord, did we do this? And the question is far. It's far from the thought of merit. It's by what Jesus has done for you and for me and for our fellow brother and sister. You see, we as Christians, we keep no record of all of our good works. You do not keep a tally sheet. I have done this and this and this and this for you, Lord. Therefore, I deserve your kingdom. That will not work. No, the Lord will look at your heart. And in looking at your heart, He will see whether you have truly served Him by loving and serving your fellow Christian. And not only that, everyone who was deserving of His service. Today, you learn the greatness of divine forgiveness. Only your King remembers all the good, yes, all the good that He has worked through you. And He sees all these deeds, except if there's no saving faith, then He doesn't see those works. But you, His dear little lambs, you do have saving faith. You know that all that you do in this life and in this body is for His glory. And when we do everything for His glory, the Lord will bless you. He will bless you with His kingdom. Therefore, the King surprises. He surprises you, the righteous. He will surprise you, not with words of judgment. He will surprise all of us with words of praise. His come unto me invites you. You are blessed. You are declared righteous by His Father. Yes, during your earthly life here in this life, here in Ohio or in Indiana, you trusted your King. You showed that He is working through you by what you have done in this life. Now He surprises you with words of wonderful praise for your deeds of love and service to Him are deeds that He will accept at His glorious judgment throne. Yes, God's long counsel of salvation has reached its goal in you. He will praise you, and He will welcome you into His kingdom. He will call you my brother, my sister. But there's one more surprise. There's one more surprise as Jesus turns to those on His left. To them He says, "Depart from me." He rejects those who have rejected Him. He rejects those who have rejected the Father. He rejects those who have rejected you and persecuted you. You see, in this earthly life, the concern of the goat, the concern of the unrighteous, is primarily for not you, not God, but themselves. That's what the unrighteous do. Their life is wrapped up about, and it only concerns me, myself, and I. And it's all for their own benefit. Do unto others before they do unto me. That's the mantra. I used to hear that all the time in the military. And it would really make me upset. And I would tell people, those are words, very evil words, that do not comport with being an American and mostly with being a Christian. Now He surprises. He surprises them with words of judgment, with words of condemnation, because they have willingly, by their own words and actions, rejected His grace. You see, Jesus does not provide a way of salvation for the non-Christian in this text. There are many who teach in this world that on the great last day, Jesus will throw His hands up and He'll say, "Oh, I was just kidding. Y'all come in." The text doesn't tell us that. Jesus tells us over and over again that He is a holy and just God. And that if you reject Him, He will definitely reject you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no sitting on the fence. Either you are or you are not. Either you're a sheep or you're a goat. And they will be separated on the great last day. And the goat, as Jesus tells us, will go into everlasting punishment. They will go into a place that was not made for them. Hell was not made for man. Hell was a place of punishment, of confinement for Satan and all of his evil angels. Yet God will send all those whom he does not know to be under subjection in hell because they have rejected him. And it's also important for us to understand, dear ones, that God does not want anyone in hell. Satan and the evil angels, yes. All mankind, no. You all know John 3:16. John 3:16, you're saying it right now to yourselves. I could feel the vibes. But what about verse 17? How many of you know verse 17? We know John 3:16 very well. But unfortunately, we don't know verse 17 also well. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God does not desire the death of any, spiritual death of any person. He desires that all people be saved. But when men reject the mercy of their Messiah will have no mercy on them. They, by their unbelief, the goats have become an enemy of God, and they have condemned themselves. What a surprising message. You will hear words of great praise. You will hear words of gospel. But there's also words of condemnation. Yes, there is a warning. There's a warning that judgment day is coming. Jesus tells us, you've been hearing it, dear ones, that you must be ready. You must be prepared. You must be wearing the robe of righteousness. You must be present to hear his words. You must be present to remain connected to the vine, receiving body and blood. You must be present to hear, for in hearing his word, it strengthens your faith. It prepares you for the trials of this life. And as long as you do this, on the great last day, Jesus will announce his judgment upon you. Great words of praise. Welcome, my brother. Welcome, my sister, into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. You see, for us, for each and every one of us, there's no fear. We do not fear our King. We rejoice in his presence. Yours is not a life of terror. Yours is not a life of anxiety or fear. Instead, yours is a life of joyful service to your neighbor and to your King. This is because, due to his surprising words, due to his surprising grace and mercy, due to his surprising love, you know the outcome. You know the end of the story, dear brothers and sisters. You know what happens on Judgment Day, and it really won't be a surprise for you whatsoever. You will be rejoicing forever with him. And therefore, we close with these words, as the judge declares, I have suffered your sentence for you. I have paid the price for your redemption. You are not guilty. You are forgiven. Yes, you are forgiven of all of your sins. Forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.